This is the Dean, Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. We have an exciting show for you today. 9/11. We'll be talking about Floyd Money Mayweather. We're talking about 50 Cent and Hernan, our special guests here on the Dean Show. So much to talk to you about. Don't go nowhere for this exciting episode of the Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Back on the Dean Show. Welcome, welcome. ¿Cómo estás, amigos?
Bien, alhamdulillah.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A little bit of Spanish, Arabic, English.
Absolutely.
Bilingual.
Alhamdulillah.
How you doing, Hernan?
Yes.
Open the show, and I'm talking about Hernan. I'm talking about 9/11. We're talking about Floyd Mayweather in the mix, undefeated boxing champ, 50 Cent. How do you fit in with 50 Cent and Floyd Money Mayweather? And this is an exciting show. But before we give the audience the bigger picture, we're going to have you introduce yourself. Hernan, jiu-jitsu superstar. So we got boxing, jiu-jitsu. People think like, what are you going to be fighting, challenging Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, man. Alhamdulillah. Maybe one day, inshallah. For fun. Alhamdulillah. My name is Hernan Guadalupe. It's pronounced Hernan in Spanish.
¿Do hablas español?
Hablo español, mashallah.
Oh, uno poquito, that's nice.
Muy bien, muy bien. Español muy bien.
Muy bien.
My parents, they traveled over here from Ecuador in the late 70s. Alhamdulillah, searching that better life. They left, you know, their futures, their careers behind in search to provide for myself and for my brothers something better, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So tell us now, you have a very exciting story. On 9/11, which we know that this was a sad event, only an idiot would be sitting there celebrating that. Mm-hmm. Women died, children died, yeah. You know, whites died, blacks died, non-Muslims died, Muslims died.
Correct.
So we know that Islam has nothing to do with this.
Right.
So we're not revisiting this. We know that Islam and Islamic scholars have condemned this. But you now, and just one more thing to know, I mean, FBI statistics, you know, because many people, Islamophobes and people who are trying to make Islam out like the boogeyman, just look at the facts. You know, Islam is on the look. We're showing a chart right now, and it's showing Islam, even though that anyone who's doing terrorist acts has nothing to do. They're doing it according to their own desires and whims. But look at Islam is at the lowest totem pole, according to FBI statistics. Look at these charts. So we're not going to go in. That's not the topic. Other people can look at the other topics that we've covered condemning this. But now you accepted Islam. That's submission to the one who created you, the one God, on 9/11.
Correct.
Okay, so before we get into 50 Cent, Money Mayweather, and all this, and how this connects, you're jiu-jitsu, you're also a jiu-jitsu player, you Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Talk to us, what happened? Why did this happen?
Well, my parents, when they came over here, they wanted that better lifestyle for us. And one of the ways that they felt would be a catalyst to having a good lifestyle is to enroll us in a Catholic school. So from first grade all the way to eighth grade, I was in Catholic school. And during that time, we learned about the Bible, catechism, took all my sacraments. And also, I was an altar boy during that time, from fourth grade to eighth grade. And I was in the church. I was learning, I was studying, I was assisting. And you're behind the scenes seeing pretty much everything. For a long time, it was just following what was instructed, but it came to a point where everybody, youth comes into their lives and start asking themselves, what's their purpose in life? What is my goal? What am I doing? And at the same time, because I was in a religious environment, I started asking religious questions. I started asking about the Trinity and the concept of God and Catholicism in its theology and its practices. and certain things never lined up. My heart never really accepted these things, even though I followed it for so long. But it came to a point where I started asking these questions, and it didn't click. Like, 1 + 1 + 1 is still 1, and I was always into math, and it doesn't make sense.
You're talking about the Holy Ghost God, and right, Jesus Trinity, God, right, and right, Father to God, right, but not three gods, one God. Doesn't right, make sense.
It didn't make sense. And you're taught in math that 1 + 1 + 1 is 3, but then in theology, you're taught that 3 is 1 or 1 is 3. And it just didn't make sense. And on top of the fact that there were certain things that you saw that you just didn't feel that were right. One of the things was the amount of wealth that was collected, the amount of gold that was stored, and then you'd go outside and you see many people living in poverty. And it just something inside of me never really felt that this was the correct way. So I started a journey of searching the truth. I had friends that were different denominations of Christianity. I started asking them questions about their faiths. I read about Judaism, Hinduism. I was into Kung Fu when I was a kid, so I started
Did you get a black belt in Kung Fu?
I studied for 10 years.
10 years?
But I never really... In Kung Fu, there is a black belt, but they more go by like sashes rather than colors.
It's like Sifu?
Right, Sifu. So I studied it, and I competed against the black belt level, but it was such a challenge that I stayed right in the kind of the middle. Mm-hmm. But because I was into that type of culture, I'd also looked into the Chinese religion, but nothing ever clicked. Nothing ever really stood out and said, you know what, this is what I want to choose. And it didn't happen until I actually got to college. And actually before that, I remember when I was about 17 or 18 years old, I made dua, I made supplication to God to guide me, because I felt lost. I
mean, now, when you say God, were you talking about what many Christians believe, Holy Ghost God, no, Jesus God? Which God are you talking about?
Allah, the one true God.
But you never said Allah at that time.
No, I didn't.
When you would define, for people who've never heard this term, who are you praying to?
The creator of the heavens and the earth, the mm-hmm, one who we all seek from, the one who doesn't need anything or anyone. He's the provider, the protector, the creator, the one who doesn't have any children or wasn't born.
Would it be safe to say where Christians considered like the Father, the ultimate,
yes,
God?
Right. Okay.
The supreme being. So you're praying to the supreme,
right,
being, the creator.
Right. Not the created, not Jesus or any Holy Spirit, anything like that.
What about all the saints that come into the mix in Catholicism? Right. About Saint Michael, Judy, this saint, that saint? Were you praying through any of them?
No, absolutely not. I mean, for me, at that age, I already understood that these people, they were just people like us. And the only reason that they were raised to that status was because people raised them to that status. God didn't give them that status per se. So for me, I was going straight to the source.
So now you pray to the creator because you want to know your purpose in life.
Exactly. So I found myself one night crying, just waterfalls of tears, and asking God to guide me, asking Allah to guide me and give me the truth, show me what the truth is. And really, I thought the truth was going to come the next day. I mean, it was such a sincere dua, such a sincere supplication that I really believed that the truth was going to be just fall into my lap the next day. But it didn't happen that way. So I continued my life, and because I was so caught up in the mix of the youth doing things that youth do, partying and going out and other vices that, you know, we don't want to mention, but you kind of get the idea. You sort of kind of got deviated from, you know, from those, from believing, or you just kind of started in, you know, delving into things that are not permissible or
so,
not
so now you're now you're away from so you went from being into religious
to kind of deviate, yes,
now it not making sense, being able to comprehend certain,
right,
things. How about asking questions to the higher ups?
I mean, it stopped after a while because the only response that they came down to was, son, you just have to believe. And I used to ask myself, how can I believe in something that I don't understand? How is it that God has made this religion the religion for all of mankind, yet there are so many ambiguities, so many holes that we just can't comprehend? So I just got disenchanted and just stepped away. And I ended up saying, I never disbelieved that there was God. I always believed that God existed or that supreme being existed. And you would say I kind of fell into being agnostic, you would say. So you believe in God, but not necessarily a specific faith. You're not following a specific way. And that was like that for a long time, you know, through high school, even my early years of college. And then when I got to college, I finally met a gentleman who was Muslim. He was another student with me. And we got together through other means, not necessarily religious means, and we started hanging out, playing basketball. We would get together in the dorm rooms to hang out, and we started talking about different topics, government, religion, sports, current events, and all these...
Boxing, music,
you know, yeah,
martial arts.
Yeah, he was big into martial arts.
Yeah. Now, did you get from going to religious to going towards the 50 Cent lifestyle, you know, the celebrity lifestyle? And that's where we're going to kind of lead into also with the Floyd Money Mayweather and 50 Cent, where you idolize Menudo.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin.
When we were young. Yeah.
Okay, so those were the people now. Did you at one point in your life say, man, I want to be on stage like that. Yeah. I want to be, you know, a star.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I mean, for the most part, kids, youth that are in college, they're there to make money. I mean, they're there to, you know, to get the education, but the goal is to become successful.
So status and money's on
Absolutely.
Your mind. Now. So let's hold it right there. We're going to take a break. We got so much more to talk about, and I'm not going to let you down. We mentioned at the beginning all these big names, 50 Cent, Floyd Money, Mayweather, Hernan, boxing, jiu-jitsu, put them up against each other, so much more. Don't go anywhere.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
If a lie's by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone.
If a lie's by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone.
If a lie's by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here with Hernan. And we have a very exciting show for you. 9/11, we mentioned 9/11, that you accepted the purpose of life on 9/11, the purpose of life that the Creator sent down, not man-made.
Right.
The man-made way of life, it wasn't making sense. And no man-made way of life, and you try to fit it on the whole globe of humanity, it's not going to make sense.
Right.
From the Creator, it's got to make sense. One plus one is two, one is one, it's not the three, and all this other mathematical gymnastics that don't...
Right.
Makes sense. So now you're in college, right?
Right.
And now that's like, for some people, it's party city.
I mean, for me, it was prime time because this was the first time I was actually out of my house.
Prime time, right?
Yeah. I was actually out of my house. My family, again, you know, they were very protective of us. So this was the first time I was living on my own.
Oh, boy, that's a big...
And, you know, and I really... pretty much came out of my shell during that time.
Because now supervision at home, parents,
right.
You're kind of a little shy to do certain things.
Correct.
But now you're outside of the house,
right.
Okay?
So you kind of got into the mix, you know, meeting a lot of people, socializing, attending parties. I joined the Latino fraternity that was very social.
Oh boy, now you're in a fraternity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
this is all about parties.
And
they might do some good things,
right.
But at the end of the day, it's like, do some good things so we can party harder.
I mean, that was, for some people, was like that,
yeah.
You know? And so I was into this stuff, and at the same time, I still was in that search. And I met my friend. He introduced me to Islam during these small little gatherings, and he would talk about it. And he would talk about all these topics: politics, government, current events, sports, and all that stuff from an Islamic angle. So this is the first time I heard the word Allah. The word Muhammad, you know, the name Muhammad, Islam, and this was brand new to me. I never heard this before, and it's funny because when I think about it, Allah or God, He in my life, I was introduced to all these religions, and I thought I knew it all, but I never learned about Islam until this specific point. And my heart was drawn to it because it made sense to me. When I asked, and I started asking him the questions I would ask the priests. So when I asked him, okay, what do you believe? How do you define the Trinity? Who is God? Who is Jesus? He would tell me from the Islamic point of view, and it entered my heart, and it filled my heart with happiness. It was for the first time there was that click that I was looking for. One is one, no complications. Jesus was a messenger and a prophet. He was just a man who was sent with a message to deliver mankind with glad tidings of worshiping Allah alone and entering paradise. That makes sense. Who's Mary? Mary is the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God, because then there's a circle that you just can't understand. Because if she's the mother of God and the mother of Jesus, then how is it that God gave her life, but she gave life to God? And it's just too confusing. But when he explained it, Mary was just a woman, a righteous, pious woman who gave birth to Jesus, the messenger. It made sense.
So all the questions were lucid, the answers were lucid and clear.
Clear.
No ambiguity.
No ambiguity.
Purpose of life. Was it answered now?
Yes, yes. And when
to the satisfaction of your soul?
Yes. And when I asked him, what is our purpose in this life? He would ask, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we're not here, that God didn't create, Allah didn't create any, the man and the jinn kind, except to worship him. And that made sense. And when he said, everything is worship. You coming to school is worship. You waking up in the morning is worship. You eating is everything. And I was like, that makes sense.
As long as you're God conscious, you're doing it with the right intentions to please God, to serve God. That's an act of worship.
And one of my biggest things growing up was like, why do I have to pray in the church for God to answer my prayers? What if He knows everything and sees everything? Why can't I pray at home in the privacy of my own home? And that was one of the biggest challenges for me growing up. And when he told me, your relationship is with God alone. There's no intermediary. You're not praying to Jesus. You're not praying to saints. You're praying wherever you want, except certain areas, of course, but wherever you want, but directly to God. And for me, that's what I was looking for.
No secretary in the middle.
No secretary.
Just direct dial-up.
Exactly.
Now you talked about procrastination. Mm-hmm. You figured out within your very self, your innate nature was like, yeah, pulling you, it was drawing you to, yeah, while the other belief, it was just something that just didn't make sense,
right,
and your insides, it didn't connect with it. Right. Your insides are connecting with this?
Absolutely.
But now you talked to me before a little bit, I heard that you were procrastinating a lot.
Right.
Now 9/11 comes in the mix. Tell us about this.
So, like I mentioned, you're caught up in this lifestyle, you know?
The Floyd Money Mayweather lifestyle, 50 Cent lifestyle, Menudo lifestyle.
You know, maybe not to that extreme, but
yeah,
definitely you wanted to be successful. You know,
yeah,
I wanted a BMW. I wanted my own house. I want this. And these things are good in a sense, but, you know, this is what most guys at college, that's what they want, become presidents of companies, CEOs and stuff. And that's my direction as well. You know, I wanted to be a successful engineer. When I was learning about Islam, my heart accepted it completely. I told myself, this is the religion that I'm going to be, this is the religion that I want to be part of, but right now I'm having too much fun. This is the first time out of my house, I'm meeting all these people, I'm going to all these parties, socializing, and I just don't want to let this go yet. So I told myself, I'm gonna wait until I get older to accept Islam. Once you know you're serious and you're more established and stuff.
Procrastination.
I procrastinated.
One of the devil's biggest tricks.
Right.
You got time.
Right. Exactly. And then one day happened. September 11th came. Up to this point, I accepted Islam in my heart, but in action, I said, you know what? I gotta wait because I'm enjoying my life right now. I ended up going to class in the morning, and the university that I attended, Stevens Tech, it's in Hoboken, New Jersey. So Hoboken is actually on the bank of the Hudson River. So it faces Manhattan, lower Manhattan. It's directly across the river. So I went to class, I came back to class, and my friend gave me a call on the phone. So I answered the call, and she said that the buildings are on fire, meaning the Twin Towers were on fire. And I was like, that's impossible, because I just saw them coming back from class, and they were fine. She said, no, turn it on, and check it out. So I turned on the news, and lo and behold, they're on fire. And I freaked out. I mean, what's going on, you know? This is a monument that is a historic monument. You're like, you know, you're really in awe. I ran up to my friend's room, the one who was giving me dawah, the Muslim brother who was giving me dawah, and we both ran outside to see what was going on. and it was chaotic. I mean, the school was full of students, scared, worried, concerned. And by this time, everybody knew there was two planes that hit. I mean, people saw it, and there was reports already that a plane struck the towers, and we were all in shock. And actually, at that point, I was really, really freaked out because the school where I went also has a huge tower as well. So I kept on thinking, well, what about if another plane hits here and something happens to us and we're right here? And during that whole time, I'm concerned. And it wasn't until the buildings actually collapsed, you know, after a couple hours, the buildings actually collapsed, that reality hit. Reality hit me. And I thought to myself at that time, all these people, they woke up in the morning thinking that it was going to be another normal day, thinking that they would have another tomorrow. They were going to wake up, have breakfast, have lunch, have dinner, hang out with their friends, family members, play sports, whatever they did during the day, they thought they were going to do. But Allah had a different plan for them. Allah decreed that this was their final day. And for me, visual or seeing that from across the river, and also knowing that Islam is the truth, that there's a reward for those people who believe in Allah and worship Him alone, paradise, and there's also a destination for those who disobey, who want to follow their desires, who want to disobey Allah. There is a specific place for them as well. Knowing this, and knowing at that same time that I was being arrogant, procrastinating, putting it off, being a servant of Allah, obeying Him alone, worshiping Him alone, because I wanted to have fun, it scared me. And realizing that, what about tomorrow I don't live? What about if tomorrow I don't have an opportunity to become Muslim? What about when I'm 80? It never comes. For me, it was a real shock. I remember even looking at my watch and just seeing the seconds pass by and worrying what's going to happen next. At that moment, my friend, he taps me on my shoulder, and the same friend, he taps me on my shoulder and he says, look, this is too much for me. I need to go back to my room. I want to go pray. And without any hesitation, without even thinking, well, you know what, if I go with him and I follow him and pray with him, that might not, you know, it's going to be a life change, and then all the parties and all that stuff is going to be gone. I didn't even think about that at that point. All I thought about was, I need to do the right thing. I went back with him to his room. He showed me how to make ablution, wudu. He taught me how to say shahada, the declaration of faith, and I prayed with him for the first time. And from that point on, I became Muslim. And
so from that point on, you submitted to the will of God. That's what a Muslim is, one right. Who submits themselves not to a man, a monkey, a woman, to Jesus, a messenger, yeah. To Muhammad, but you submit to the one who created all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, you did that.
I did that at that point, and alhamdulillah was the best decision that I ever made. I mean, all the thoughts that I needed to wait in order to, and let me just enjoy my life, it wasn't the case. Once I accepted Islam, I was completely happy. There was ways for us to have fun, as Muslims, healthy fun. And on top of that, my relationship with my parents got better, with my brother got better. I felt that I knew I had a direction and purpose now. I had the roadmap on how to lead my life. All the things, the vices that were really hurting me, you know, they were finally washed away, and I had a clear path. And it was the best thing, alhamdulillah, that I did for myself, you know.
The tranquility and peace enter your heart?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You had purpose now, you had a plan.
Absolutely.
God's plan, not your desire, is exactly. Dictating your way.
Right.
It was clear.
It was clear.
Happiness?
Happiness, complete happiness.
Something that money can't buy.
Money can't buy that.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and we'll continue on. And now for all the fans who are tuning in just to hear what we have to say about the undefeated heavyweight, no, what is he, junior heavyweight, or what is it?
He's a lightweight
champion. Sorry if we're saying that wrong. Okay. And 50 Cent, one of the most popular rap artists out in the world. We're going to be bringing this into the mix when we come back. So don't go anywhere. An exciting show with Hernan here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
People often say to me, why have you become a Muslim? No, I give a very frivolous answer. I say, I want to be on the side of the angels.
Tupac is a guy, he's the number one rap artist in the world. He sold over 60 million records worldwide.
60 million?
60 million. He was a young guy who had basically everything that some of the youth would think that life is all about. He had everything you can imagine.
The Dean Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If a lie's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If a lie's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If a lie's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show with Hernan, accepted Islam, submission to the will of the one God, the way of life of all the messengers. Jesus was a Muslim, he submitted to God, Moses, Abraham, and last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, who is till the end of time, a messenger just like all of them, who called people to submit to the Creator. Don't submit to the creation. Do good deeds. Obey God, you get to paradise. Disobey God, follow your desires. Consequences, hellfire. Yep. We care, that's what we're sharing. So now, your story, inshallah, God willing, can affect so many people's lives. You are procrastinating like many people. They tune in and they say, man, that makes sense. Only worship the one who created creation. Don't worship the creatures of God. Worship the Creator alone. Don't set up a partner with God. As soon as you put divinity to a Holy Ghost, to a saint, you've canceled out pure monotheism.
Absolutely.
And this is what it's about, pure monotheism. So Floyd Money Mayweather, now he's involved at a higher level into the sport game, yeah. And his sidekick, his best friend, who we want to invite to the purpose of life. You know the purpose of life now, and you're happy, something that money cannot buy, you have. And you know a little bit about Floyd?
I know a little bit.
What do you know about him?
I remember watching him when I was younger, undefeated boxer, probably one of the most popular boxing figures there is now. So, real good boxer.
Man. Undefeated, right?
Undefeated.
No, yeah. Have you noticed after some of his bouts, usually from the ones that I've seen, he thanks God.
First off, I want to thank God for this victory, because without God, all this wouldn't be possible.
But exactly what is that power that allows you to overcome those obstacles?
God. What else can I say? God.
He says, you know, I like to thank God.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw Jesus in the mix. Some will say, Jesus was a mighty messenger of God. Nowhere did he ever call people to worship him. Never did he claim he was God. But now, Floyd Mayweather, he does thank God at the end.
Yeah.
So there's hope for everybody to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anybody who's admiring 50 Cent and Floyd Money Mayweather, if they continue to follow them, is that the right way or wrong way? Swearing, cursing, partying, all these other things that go against what the Creator wants us to do.
Nah, it's definitely not the right way.
It's not the right way. So tell us now, you're involved in jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Okay, did you ever box?
I did. I did some boxing, kickboxing,
yeah.
With all the other martial arts I did. Yeah.
So now it's very important. Now we as Muslims, ones who have submitted to the rule of God, we know the purpose. If you actually, you don't care, you don't share.
Right.
So we as Muslim, every Muslim's duty is to deliver the message, to share the purpose of life with the world.
Right.
And what better person to share it with than some of these high up celebrities that, man, if they come to the realization that this is the truth,
right.
provides proof, it provides evidence, not blind faith,
yeah.
Like you experienced,
mm-hmm.
Many of their followers, they'll also investigate. And that's what we want people to do, to ask those tough questions to their higher-ups, to investigate, and they'll come to the same realization, if they're sincere, that Islam is from the Creator. It provides all the proof, evidences that is the truth. So we know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he made a dua. You know this dua when the person of that time, Umar ibn Khattab,
yeah.
radiallahu anh, he was like a person of prestige. Mm-hmm. People admired him. And tell us a little about this.
Yeah, I remember reading about this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he actually made dua for two people in his tribe. The first one was Umar ibn Hisham, or Abu Jahl. He was best known in history. And Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he said, O Allah, strengthen Islam through one of the two. Because during that time, these two gentlemen were affluent. They had prestige and power and influence on the people. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he made dua that that the Islam be uplifted and strengthened through one of these two gentlemen. And alhamdulillah, it was Umar ibn al-Khattab that Allah guided and accepted Islam. And we know that he was the prophet, peace be upon him, said if there was any other prophet to be after me, it would have been Umar bin Khattab. So you can see the status that Islam was raised at just through this gentleman. And it reminds me, and when we talk about these celebrities or in discussions, you know, these people have influence. People follow them, you know, whether it be Mayweather or 50 Cent or any other individual in entertainment or sports business. They have followings. People flock to them.
Millions of followers.
By CDs. They,
some people worship. That's like an act of worship. People worship them.
Some of them do.
They do. Yeah. Because they know everything about their lives.
Right.
If they say turn left, they'll turn left.
Right.
Wear this, they'll wear that.
Yeah.
Jump like this, they'll jump like that.
They dictate how society pretty much lives their life, and especially the youth. And the hadith or this dua reminds me of that, because so imagine if you make dua for these people or invite them to Islam, the effect that they can have on their immediate following. You know, and we've seen it before. We've seen it with other singers and rappers.
Muhammad Ali, Cat Stevens,
even like current times, Napoleon and Loon and all these people. And I know you've had them on your show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, mashallah.
So these people, they have an influence. So inshallah, it would be a great thing that, you know, this person also comes into Islam and have that impact on it.
And that's what we want to do right now, because now with all the money, the millions, he gets paid like Floyd, Money Mayweather, they call him.
Yeah.
Used to be Pretty Boy Floyd.
Yeah.
And he'd pull out the stack of hundreds, counting millions in front of him. He's in jail now, and his money can't get him out right now.
Right.
He's in jail for domestic violence. Uh-huh. And usually when people are closed behind four doors, now they'll reflect and think.
Right.
And his money can't save him now. He'll be out, I think, in a few weeks, in a little bit over a month, something like that.
Right.
But he has... Now we have a way to get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
Before, people were like, man, how can we invite him? But we're putting up on the screen now his address. So we're asking people, it's a call to action, send Floyd Money Mayweather a letter on why he should be a Muslim.
Definitely. I mean,
and
definitely.
Allah will facilitate the way. Let's plant the seeds. Because if maybe I send a letter, you, that's one out of how many does he get? But imagine if all the millions of Muslims now start writing him a letter, one letter, and inviting him and giving him the reasons why he should be a Muslim.
Sure.
Maybe tomorrow, when he reads it, he might accept. And then all his followers, all of them, start looking into it, and maybe they'll accept this way of life that's from the creator Islam too. Or, you know what, maybe in 20 years, hey, those letters that he got, all the thousands, you know,
they
can have an impact on him, huh?
Absolutely.
And then he's going to share with the sidekick 50 cents. Maybe it's 50 cents drop. And it's true. Everything they've done in the past, okay, let's say they turn to Islam, they turn to the Creator, all of them sins are forgiven. If they turn to God Almighty sincerely, all of the evil that they might have done,
The slate is clean. Yes.
That's amazing, right?
SubhanAllah.
So any closing comments and suggestions? Now you also have some books, your website now, you've doing some great, you're actively involved in the dawah. So tell us how people can get a hold of you.
After I became Muslim, you know, and being involved in the Latino community, there's not that many resources for Spanish-speaking Muslims and even non-Muslims. So we took the initiative to translate a lot of articles into Spanish that people can benefit from. And the sister company, or sister project, is actually making books for Spanish-speaking children. So we noticed there's a lot of Latinos, just like myself, are having children, alhamdulillah, becoming Muslim. They're Muslim from birth. There are no resources for them to learn. So we've actually made books. My wife, she's the main director on this project. She actually writes and publishes her own books.
What's the website that people can get this at?
The Hablamos Islam Niños.
So people can get these books here.
Yes.
Say it again.
Hablamos Islam Niños. So
okay.
We have about five books that we published to date that they can come as coloring books, you know, great printing, a Braille bright that they can benefit, inshallah. And it teaches them, you know, a number of Islamic values,
mm-hmm.
like how to go to Juma and the importance of the veil and how to prepare for Ramadan,
yeah,
stuff like that. So.
Tell us now, we're out of time. We got like 30 seconds. Now I want you to do it in Spanish and I want you to do it in English in a few seconds, encouraging people not to procrastinate. Maybe some Muslims got some non-Muslims, brothers in humanity. They're like, man, this makes sense, man. The guy was there. And he went from a way of life that didn't make sense. Then he went to party, agnostic. And through all of that confusion, he prayed directly to God. Allah facilitated the way. And now he's got peace. He knows his purpose. But some people, they procrastinate. Right. And you know what? They get nowhere. Right. So let's say Floyd Money Mayweather, he gets these letters. And he's like, man, you know what? They're right. And he's not distracted by all the money. But now for him not to procrastinate, what do you got to say to Floyd?
Allah says in the Quran that this life is just a mere enjoyment, a temporary enjoyment, but the life in the hereafter is much better. And this is something that I tell a lot of people, that this is temporary. This is not going to last. The money is not going to last. When you pass away, that money is going to be spread to somewhere else. You're going to be there alone. And you don't want to be that person who's wretched. You want to be that one who is given, who is shown mercy, and eventually enter paradise, where all those riches that you had in this world are going to be multiplied by billions, gazillions, whatever it is. So don't waste time. Don't waste time being caught up in this mere enjoyment, and focus on what your purpose in life is. Focus on what God intended for you to do in this life, and to be successful, but in the way of by pleasing Him and worshiping Him alone.
May Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who created this whole universe and everything, the one who Jesus prayed to, may He reward you. Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you. And we've come to the end of another exciting show here in the Deen Show. We're here every week. You don't catch us internationally. We're viewed all over the globe on many satellite channels. And if you catch us on the TV, continue to tune in, same time, same channel, or you can visit us at thedeenshow.com to catch many of our programs. And procrastination is something that is a tool that Shaitan, the devil, uses. Don't procrastinate. Know that you got one shot to get it right, one life to live, and get it right now. Because at the end, you'll be in the grave, the dirt will be in your mouth, and it's over, it's finished. And all the wealth that you have compiled will not save you at all from what comes next. It's your actions, developing yourself to live a righteous life, a pious life, a life that brings peace and happiness. And it's according to God's game plan, not your desires. And Floyd Money Mayweather, the invitation is to him and to 50 and to all the celebrities out there and the layman and the white collar, black collar worker, yellow Chinese. Everyone has the potential to submit alone to the creator of the heavens and the earth and not his creation, and to live a good, wholesome, organic, righteous life. Write to Floyd. We have the opportunity. He's in jail right now. Send him a letter on why he should accept Islam, the benefits of it, and why he should be a Muslim, one who submitted himself to the one God, and all the beautiful rewards that come with that. Write him a letter. And don't forget, every week we're here. Pick up the new Dunya Tadeen. Also, share it with your friends and your family. And if you want, operators are standing by right now. If you want to accept, you're like, how can I do it? 1-800-662-ISLAM. We don't need your money. Don't worry. We're not trying to sell you some fairy dust or any other hocus pocus mumbo jumbo. Call us right now. If you want to accept the way of life from the creator of the heavens and earth, it's simple. There's only one God. Worship Him, not His creation. And Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And then you accept Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They were all messengers of God. None of them called people to submit to themselves or to saints or to idols or icons. Only to God. Call us. 1-800-662-ISLAM. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.